Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think the focus is back on the US. Certainly the inflation data for the month of June was released last week. There is some evidence of import duties starting to impact the US inflation, but it remains fairly manageable. And at the same time, we've seen a softening of some of the service components of US inflation. So that's proving to be quite helpful. So I think we can focus on that element. In terms of some of the other data, the Chinese GDP data was out for the second quarter. It was a little bit higher than expected, decent growth of just over 5% within the context for the Chinese economy. I think what's interesting there is that some of the elements are holding up really well, particularly their exports. If I look at Chinese export performance, it's exceptional given that they're selling a hell of a lot less to the United States, which means that China's been able to gain market share in other Asian economies, and I suspect also use other Asian economies as a conduit to sell back into the US. So countries such as Vietnam and others have been used by China, and I think continue to be used by China to sell their goods elsewhere in the world. So that has been a very effective strategy, and it's helped the Chinese economic performance quite considerably. In terms of their own imports, those are fairly subdued, and I think that reflects the fact that Chinese economic growth is not at a consumer level or at a domestic level all that vibrant. So in order to keep their growth rate going, they are very much now relying on export performance and to some extent general industrial production. The production part of it is obviously feeding then into the exports, but it means that they've got excess capacity, and so they are exporting deflation. I think overall you would say that Chinese economic growth is holding on at a decent pace. It's not like it's re-accelerating, but it's better than it was at the beginning of the year, and the anxiety around a slowdown in China, that has dissipated considerably. The South Africa data, I don't think a lot to focus on. We had some mining data that looked better, some retail sales data that's holding on at a decent pace. But I think for this week, we're going to focus on the US inflation numbers and then just chat about what that might mean for US interest rates. As I mentioned in the introduction, US inflation for the month of June came out last week, and it has moved up a little bit. At a headline level, it rose by 0.3% in the month, which pushed the annual rate up to 2.7%, which is higher than it's been in recent months, but still very manageable. Obviously, the problem is going to be that over the coming months, we expect that US inflation will go a bit above 3%, and a lot of that is due to the tariff effect. If we break down the latest inflation data, there is clear evidence that the higher import duties are pushing prices higher. Those prices are a range of consumer goods where you've got a higher import intensity, so things like toys, clothing, household furnishing, some of the appliances. Those categories are showing upward pressure in the latest month, and that clearly is coming through because companies are passing on some of the tariff effect. We do think that US companies are absorbing a portion of the tariff effect, and we also think that because companies stocked up considerably before the tariffs came into effect, there is an inventory drawdown which is helping to cushion the impact of import duties on US inflation. But I think going forward, you would expect that there's increasing evidence of the import duties pushing prices higher. And as I say, we expect that headline inflation in the US will move above 3%. But then importantly, we think once it's in the base, in other words, over the next 12 months, then we think it settles down, and overall, we would then anticipate U.S. inflation softening. So it's not as if at this stage that we're anticipating that U.S. inflation becomes problematic longer term. We think it is much more to do with the tariff effect, and that should wash through the data over a period of 12 months. Clearly, though, there's still a lot of uncertainty about exactly what tariffs are going to be impacting prices. And I guess at this stage, we've got to wait for the 1st of August to see if there are any additional deals that are being done. And then even beyond that, I suspect the tariff environment is going to remain very uncertain. And so I think it's going to become the norm to not be entirely sure what the tariff regime looks like within the US, other than to suggest that the overall level of tariffs is considerably higher than where it was before Trump came into office. If I look at where the effective tariff in the US was last year, that was below 3%. It's already now sitting at around 18%, and depending on how the various trade deals are concluded, that may go up a little bit or down a little bit, but it's going to end up being a lot higher than where it has been. I don't think at this stage that it's going to boost US manufacturing. There's no evidence of that at this stage. In fact, quite the opposite. We've seen some weakness in elements of US manufacturing. We've certainly seen some job losses in manufacturing, and I just don't envisage an environment where US manufacturing becomes significantly more vibrant as a consequence of the tariffs, which means that the tariffs ultimately add a layer of cost to the US economy that has to be unhelpful at either a company level or at a household level. Outside of the tariff effect, there is evidence that service components of the US inflation basket are softening, particularly the shelter element. Shelter inflation went up only by 0.2%. That's a decent outcome. And so the annual rate of shelter inflation has moved to below 4%. It's not quite at the historical average. It needs to soften a bit more. But because the US housing market is weakening, I think that you'll find that the shelter element or the rental part at least softens a bit further. And I think that will be helpful to offset some of the upward pressure coming through because of the tariff effect. There is a little bit unfortunate increase in food inflation in the US going on. I think that bears watching a little bit more closely. It's not as if it's at an alarming level, but it's moved up well above the 2% target level, and it's getting now much closer to 3 and 4%, and I think that upward bias needs to be monitored. I'm not picking up a general upward bias in global food prices at this stage, but once food inflation starts to pick up, it can have a tendency to become self-fulfilling, and given how big food is within the basket, it's something that we need to watch fairly carefully. Overall, you would say that the inflation numbers in the US remain very manageable. I don't think they're going to scare the Federal Reserve, which means the Federal Reserve is still going to be looking for an opportunity to cut rates. They're under enormous pressure from President Trump. I don't think that pressure is going to prompt them to cut rates earlier than they would ordinarily. They still remain in a wait and see approach. That wait and see approach, I think, is entirely appropriate given that you've still got this extreme anxiety or uncertainty around where tariffs are going to end up. So a July interest rate cut, I think, is not feasible. The meeting after that takes place in September. You would argue that there's a greater chance of an interest rate cut. At the moment, the market is pricing in slightly above 50% chance. That's not particularly compelling. And then beyond that, I think an expectation that if it isn't done in September, it will be done later in the year. So I think there's a high probability that the Fed will move interest rates lower, even with inflation trending higher. The reason is that interest rates are in restrictive territory, which would mean there is some scope to cut rates as long as you feel inflation isn't going to become entrenched at a higher level. And at the same time, there is some evidence that the US labor market is softening. So I think the bias for the Fed would be to ease interest rates, but I don't think their approach would be to cut interest rates very aggressively until they are absolutely sure that the tariff effect on inflation is going to be much more transitory than persistent. And then I think there is scope to take interest rates down considerably further. So I think the Federal Reserve is going to remain fairly cautious in its approach. I think the pressure from Trump is going to remain intense, but I think that's going to persist until early next year, and by then I think there will be more room for the Fed to cut rates and start to ease the pressure, allowing for the US economy to perform a bit better next year than what it is anticipated to grow at this year. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.